That's the last straw. I've got to get my bleeding chat show back from that blow.
This is the Sarcastic Voyage Podcast.
This is podcast number 6, featuring Ron Algar-Watt, Matt Robotham, and Scott Sioko.
Panel discussion.
All right, we are back once again. With me, as always, is Matt.
And, hey, hi.
Our guest this week is Mr. Scott Sioko, a good friend of ours, good friend of the show, independent comic book maker, funny guy. Scott, how are you?
I'm livid.
Livid?
Yes.
Really, right out of the chute, you're already angry. We haven't even done anything yet. What's the problem?
I've been angry for a while, you know. I've been sitting here waiting for a shipment.
A shipment.
God, I can feel your anger from here.
Have you ordered something? Have you placed an order? Have you? I'm confused.
What? I haven't ordered anything. I was made a promise.
Really? Well, this is by all means, this is your soapbox. This is your forum. You are the guest. Who do you have this problem with, and what can we do to solve it?
Well, it all happened when I jumped on Twitter the other day. Okay. I was looking through a Twitter feed, just trying to get caught up with everything.
Sure.
And I noticed someone mentioned someone about making donuts, and I was like, oh, I was really excited, you know, because, you know, I saw this Twitter saying, hey, I'm making donuts. So,
well, and donuts will do that. It'll raise that excitement.
Yeah. So I sit here, I saw this, you know, Twitter saying, hey, I'm making donuts. So I'm like, you know, this is great, you know. Well, I should let everyone know that this person is making donuts. So I go out of my way to let, like, everybody I'm on Twitter know that somebody's making donuts, and we should all support, you know, this donut endeavor. And, so where's the donuts, Al?
Dude, you promised people donuts? What the fuck?
He did.
Let me get this straight in my mind. He promised you and everyone else on Twitter donuts.
All right, so here's the thing. I saw specifically I'm making donuts. Now, right. if you're in your office and you walk in, you say, hey, everybody, I'm baking a cake, you know, your office mates would just assume, oh, hey, he's baking us a cake. You know, someone wouldn't just bake cakes and, you know, not give cake. So when you go onto Twitter, you know, it's kind of the same thing. You say, hey, I'm making donuts. You know, why would you say you're making donuts if you're not, you know, going to give everybody on Twitter donuts?
Al specifically said to you, I'm making donuts, and then failed to give you any donuts whatsoever. That's
exactly what happened.
Yeah, here's the thing. There was a commercial in the 80s, and most people are familiar with this commercial for, I believe, Dunkin' Donuts, where the guy is a donut maker, and he's, I gotta make the donuts, time to make the donuts. I was making a reference to that, and in fact, if you read the original post, I refuse to use the word tweet, by the way. If you read my original post, it says, time to make the donuts, if by donuts I mean go, and make mean to my job that has nothing to do with donuts. In the same post, I said, no, in fact, there are no donuts whatsoever.
So that really wasn't reverse psychology?
Now, he has a good point. That sounds like reverse psychology to me.
Well, that sounds very much like reverse psychology.
And I will
see everyone on this podcast except you thinks that's reverse psychology.
Well, I will concede the fact that this podcast and other endeavors that I've made have been called Sarcastic Voyage. That maybe sometimes I do in fact say the opposite of what I mean. But in this case, I assure you, no, there are no donuts. There have never been donuts. I've never made a donut. I don't know how to make a donut. I can't help you.
See, how do I know that's not reverse psychology?
Because I'm telling you it's not. I don't have donuts. I don't know how to make donuts. I don't even like donuts that much.
See, I think you're pushing this so hard. You're pushing the fact that you don't know how to make donuts. You don't know how, you know, anything about donuts. I think you're pushing it so hard that you actually do know how to make donuts. And you're making us all donuts and you're just kind of holding back. Because you didn't think through the logistics before you made all the donuts.
So you are in fact calling Al a liar.
I am calling Al a liar. I mean, that's kind of like, I mean, it's kind of like Santa Claus making all the toys for all the little kids, but not telling any of the little kids he made the toys and not giving any of them out. That would ruin Christmas for so many little kids. Why do you ruin Christmas, Al?
So, Al, you are in fact ruining Christmas. Your response.
Okay, first of all, I'm not Santa Claus. I don't know where that allegation came from. Second,
well, you're like Santa Claus, though.
Well, I am.
The donuts are kind of like the toys, right?
No.
Also, you're fictitious and live at the North Pole.
Well, those things are true, but the rest of it is completely patently false. I have put on a bit of weight. I do have a beard. Beyond that,
one of the reindeer carcasses found in your backyard,
look,
sir.
Let's address one issue at a time, okay? There are no donuts. I can't emphasize that enough.
No donuts.
None.
A sad day for pastry lovers.
I'm are pretty sure there's pastries? Donuts. Yeah, they're pastries, yeah.
They're pastries? Okay.
Yeah.
So, what can I do to make this stop? What can I do? You have no
you
idea.
You can make us the donuts.
Because when you say us, let's be clear about this. You very nearly made this a trending topic on Twitter. You had dozens of people throughout that day and since that day approaching me about donuts using the hashtag, the little pound sign, Algar's Donuts.
Including complete strangers.
Oh, mostly complete strangers. It started as our little circle, as our little group that met on the message board, and it sort of spiraled out to the people who knew those people, and eventually by the end of the day, total strangers. And I was so afraid that somebody like Ashton Kutcher or Brent Spiner or one of the big, you know, guys with a lot of followers would pick up on this, and then where would I be?
Good advertising for the podcast. Nathan Fillion on board, so...
Yeah, and I saw attempts to get Stephen Fry on board. I saw attempts to get other celebrities involved, and all that would do is get more people angry with me for something I never really promised in the first place.
But you see, you know, I thought you'd appreciate all this, you know, effort I went into. You know, dozens. Think about that, dozens of people.
Maybe
that's
as
like
many as 100
times my comic book readership, right there. You think if I would have applied that same sort of effort to my comic book readership, I'd move past the 3.54, you know, people that actually read my comics.
Now let's address this for a minute and steer completely away from the donut subject, hopefully forever. You do make
we'll
comics.
See about that.
You publish your own comics. You have done for some time.
Yeah, for a while.
Good comics. I've read them. I've bought them. I've enjoyed them. The titles.
Yeah. See, when I say I make comics, I actually make comics. Unlike you, when you say you're going to make donuts, you know, and you don't make donuts.
Okay, I said we were moving on from the donuts.
You said you were moving. On.
This is how this is going to be, isn't it?
If much.
And no help from you at all, Matt, huh?
Of course not. This amuses the hell out of me.
And also I'm guessing you also want donuts, so there's that.
I'm indifferent.
Who doesn't want donuts? I mean, that's like universal.
Apparently not. Matt's apparently indifferent.
No, I want donuts. I want all the donuts. See how I turn that around?
But you can't have all the donuts because then, you know, everybody else on Twitter.
Well, no, I can't have them, but I can want them. We can all dream of something.
That's true.
So let's just get this straight. Who have I exactly promised these to? Everyone on Twitter? Is that what you're saying now?
Yes, because you made the statement on Twitter.
And I do have a public account. I do have a public account. I will say that it's not locked. It's not limited. Anyone can see it. So you're saying anyone with the potential of hearing that statement, of reading that statement, of accessing it, is open to the offer. That's what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay.
You're doomed, sir.
I am not a mathematician. I'm also not a donut maker, but I'm not a mathematician. I'm not any kind of a scientist. I have no idea how I would even calculate such a thing, but off the top of my head, that seems like tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people that I've potentially promised donuts to.
If an infinite number of monkeys could craft an infinite number of donuts... And the works of Hamlet.
So, Scott, would you accept these hypothetical infinite monkey donuts?
You know what? I bet Shakespeare made some really good donuts.
I bet he did.
I see. Now, if I were more well-read, I might, you know, have some kind of a sonnet reference or some kind of a... Like, I'm sure you probably mentioned round dough or something.
I'm just
I'm
wishing that
major.
I could remember that. I'm just wishing I could remember the name of the guy that... was supposed to have written some of Shakespeare's plays. That would have been perfect.
Francis Bacon?
Is that him?
I don't know.
Damn.
It's a breakfast food.
It's true. Okay.
Now, can you make us bacon?
I made some earlier, actually. It was quite enjoyable.
Gave out the bacon, unlike the donuts.
No, I did not. I was just me and my girlfriend, my fiance, Amanda. She's a vegetarian, so no, the bacon was just for me.
Okay, so I notice a pattern here. So you made some. Just keep it for yourself and don't share it with anyone else.
I can assure you, no donuts were ever made by me, ever. I don't know how to make a donut. I can't.
See, there you go with the reverse psychology again.
That sounds exactly like something a donut maker would say.
Okay, I think we're moving in circles here, gentlemen.
much like a donut.
Much, in fact, like a donut. So, Scott, you make comics.
I do.
You do. And I'm trying to put in a plug here for you.
What are the titles of some of the comics you make? Because I have not actually read any.
I did a 4-issue series called Test Tube. I did a comic called Ninjas. I did one called Ninjas in Love, Sebastian Love. I did a short adaptation of Act 3, Scene 1 of Hamlet, you know. So, you know, and you know, no monkeys involved with that. And what else did I do? Oh yeah, Abe Awesome.
That's true. Yeah, I forgot all about Abe Awesome. Abe Awesome. Yeah.
Sometimes I try to forget about Abe Awesome. But I'm working on a new Ninjas comic right now called Ninjas That Actually Make Donuts and Send Them to People When They Promise Them.
That's quite a title. Is that going to all fit on the cover, or are you going to have to?
No, I'll make it fit.
Fold out cover. Right. Gotcha. Scott has the talent of, well, I mean, first of all, he completely writes, draws, inks, everything, publishes, copies, distributes, like he's a one man band with all this stuff. The one thing that really impresses me with Scott, his art has definitely improved over time and he's a decent artist. But the thing that has always really impressed me legitimately is your sense of comedic timing. Comedy comics are fairly rare and usually bad. And
yeah.
You have a great sense. You've really struck me with the way you do. And this sounds really such an esoteric thing, but it's so important. Comedy is all about timing. And the way you break down a joke and the way you make it flow through a panel, you make me laugh with your funny comics more than most, you know, so-called professional ones do. I mean, honestly, you write some of the best funny comics I've seen. You're really good at it.
Thank you. I mean, flattery's not going to help me, you know, forgive you for the whole donut thing. But yeah, I mean, it's you know, I think humor in comics is kind of either people do it like really, really well or they don't do it at all. I mean, it's much like anything, you know, comedic related. I mean, if you got it, you got it. If you don't, you don't.
I would say a medium
comics
that's
have
called
like kind of a unique position.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, but yeah, with comic books, I mean, the thing with the comic books is when you have like a panel and like a series of panels and you have like words and constantly flowing through those panels. And then you have that one panel where there are no words. I mean, it's up to the audience then to visualize how long that silent panel actually lasts.
Exactly. I got a lot of that out of like the Scott McCloud books, like the, you know, how to control, you know, the audience's, you know, because it's not like film or even reading. It's very different. Like the one example that McCloud pointed out was in Frank Miller's Dark Knight Returns, like where he would do the very small panels getting bigger and bigger to kind of make you read faster. And it's a cool effect. And I think it's something that not a lot of people really appreciate. And
yeah,
serving comedy in particular, like I say, not a lot of people, and I can't think, I mean, Matt, you're sort of the encyclopedia of comics here. There aren't a lot of good, funny, professional comics out there, are there?
There really aren't, no. I would, just off the top of my head, what am I reading right now? Bill Willingham's Jack of Fables, which was the Fables spinoff.
Yeah, love that
book. He does the Babe the Blue Ox bits, which I think are sort of like a really small really sort of just perfect comedic moment. I really love those.
But these are in the context of the story, and unless it's changed in the few months that I've stopped reading it, they're sort of like one page cutaways from the action, and they really don't have much to do with anything, correct?
Yeah, they'll just basically cut to the miniature Babe the Blue Ox, basically riffing on Snoopy doing his sort of interior monologue things.
Right, like here's the Red Baron.
Here's the World War One fighting ace sitting in a French cafe ordering a root beer from such and such.
Right. But beyond that, I mean, really, there's not... For a medium called comics, there's really not a ton of comic, you know, comedic material out there.
No, well, A, that timing thing, again, is really hard to pull off because you can't control how someone is going to be reading it.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you can... Like, there are things you can do, but you really can't sort of just make someone look at, you know, a bunch of different pictures at, like, a certain speed, right. You know? And the other thing is, you have to be funny.
Well, and that's... Probably what we hit with the web comics that we made was, you got to be funny. So there's that.
Yeah.
Well, it kind of goes back to, like, you know, another guy that really uses humor well in comics, Evan Dorkin. He did did one of his strips. He does he does his like fun stuff strips.
Mm-hmm.
One of the strips was like anyone can make comics. It showed like a picture of a picture of a pen, mm-hmm. and then like the punchline was like, and unfortunately anybody does, and they had like three pictures of like, you know, guy saying I drew my own mucus, you know, and the other guy saying I drew myself, you know, I can't remember exactly the comic, but he's
it
like
was probably a panel from God Damn It, Matt.
the best part was the very last person that talked was I just bought the rights to Fighting American, so
that reference is lost on me, I'm afraid.
That was Rob Liefeld
bought the rights to Fighting American. So.
And Fighting American is basically Captain America, only he's called Fighting American.
Oh, right.
Well, there's that.
So, like Jack Kirby and what's his head? Joe Simon.
Joe Simon. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they created like at least like 50 versions of Captain America.
All punching Hitler on the cover.
Exactly. Every single one of them was, at least, it's funny too, like they all followed the same archetype. It's like, you know, you had the, you know, heroic, you know, handsome looking, you know, muscular, you know, lead, and then you have the small boy Ward, you know, tagging along, shooting machine guns.
Like a lineup of guys dressed in American flags with shields waiting to punch Hitler in the face.
Right, next.
All right, we've got Captain America. God, that's a great German accent. We've got Captain America. We've got the Fighting American. Who's next? That would be me, sir. American flag.
Wasn't there General Glory? Wasn't he somewhere in there?
Sergeant States.
Captain Canuck.
That one's actually from... No.
Well-known Canadian
Captain Canuck. Superhero. Captain Canuck would never punch Hitler. He would he would write him a strongly worded letter.
Come on, Captain Neville
Dear
Chamberlain.
Sir.
Let's concede.
Dear sir, I must strongly object to your relations with Poland.
Dear sir, I must strongly reject the content of that last letter.
Clearly, sir.
It's all too silly.
I was trying to lure Scott into one of his Python references that he promised to bring, and I've yet to hear any.
I'm dropping the ball much, you know, but I learned from the best, you know, you drop the ball with donuts, I drop the ball with Python, you know, it all goes hand in hand.
You're not going to let
Ouch.
This go. Just not going to let this go.
Years from now, when Twitter has all but died, he'll still be on there just, where the fuck are Algar's donuts?
That makes sense, you know, because I usually run technology into the ground. I mean, I'm still using a Dreamcast, so...
Well, somebody is, at least. I mean, I feel like I'm behind the curve using my Nintendo Wii, and I didn't even realize that anyone was using anything Sega-related, so well done, sir.
But unlike the Wii, the Dreamcast had good games.
Oh, hey. Boo.
Come on, man. You haven't lived until you've, like, actually punched Glass Joe with your actual fist.
I know. Wii Punch-Out is fun for all.
It is. There's a lot of good, like, the motion control. Any game that uses those controls, like... sort of innovatively, you know.
I refuse to get off the couch and move my arms around. Well, if I wanted that, I'd take up a sport.
Yep. Let's not get into all that now.
Go nuts here.
It is kind of funny you do like Punch-Out and you don't like sports.
No, and the funny thing is...
kind of ironic.
I really... It is ironic.
Playing punch out doesn't mean you like sports. It means you like racism.
No. Well, that's true. It is very racist. And I can't wait until we get our friend from India on to address that. And
oh,
I know
God.
I'll mispronounce his name, so I won't even say it. But you guys know he's a friend of us all. But no, it's Scott. It's funny that you mentioned that I don't like sports. It's absolutely true. I don't. I'm very much on record as saying that. However, some of my favorite Wii games are sports related. I love the fuck out of playing golf on the Wii. It does not compute. I hate golf. I hate sports. But swinging that thing and watching the ball, it's the Wii. You know, I don't get it.
Look what
I did.
You
say that too when you did it. When you hit the ball, do you go Wii every time?
Yeah, pretty much. I jump up and down and clap my hands.
I bought a Wii.
I'm like a walking commercial for the thing, basically. No, but really, I enjoyed like the sort of the straight golf games, like the Tiger Woods, and then I got like the goofy cartoon golf, and that was fun. And I don't know what to tell you. I pretend cartoon sports I like, but actually real sports, not at all.
I'll tell you, I will enjoy a sport game if Mario is playing it.
Yeah, there's that.
You know, like if Mario Golf, Mario Hoops, Mario.
It's Kart. Me, first down.
Basketball? Not if there's no shells involved.
Yeah,
I don't want to play real sports, but if a fake dinosaur is shooting eggs at something, I'm there.
Yeah, you basically put Yoshi in anything. Like you know, you'd be much better at math if you know, like Luigi taught it to you.
Hey, Matt, add the digits to a numbers.
They actually did have like a Luigi math game.
Oh, yeah, they probably did.
Yeah,
I know they had Mario teaches typing.
Yeah, how do you teach typing on the Nintendo?
Well, no, it was a computer game. You typed and he would like hop over the letters.
Oh.
Ah, you spell the dog. Now we spell a lasagna.
At least they didn't have like Captain Lou Albano up there dancing around.
That would be awesome. Hey, paisanos. Bell turn.
And didn't we determine that doing the Mario basically means walking?
Yeah, basically.
Swing your arms from side to side, take one step, and then again.
Come on, it's time to go, do the Mario.
That's walking.
You're walking to a catchy beat. It's a big difference.
I suppose that's true. So that is technically dancing because there's a beat involved.
Get your ass up off the couch, go out to take a walk, you
fat fucker. Seven notes.
Hey, that's parody.
We determined
I am safe.
I've been reading some stuff about like sampling laws and copyright and that sort of thing, and it turns out that I believe you can use a song if you use less than seven notes, which is what protected Vanilla Ice doing Ice Baby. So if we're ever gonna sing any songs on this show, we need to keep it legal.
Any more songs?
Tying that all together, do you guys remember the episode of the Mario Brothers cartoon when they went to the Milli Vanilli concert?
I do. Oh God,
I do. I didn't realize they had that much sort of pop culture synergy going on back then. Did they?
Yeah,
really have actual celebrities.
Yeah. It turned out Princess. Like, no, go ahead, Ben.
I was gonna say yeah, because like Mario and Luigi found out they were going to a concert, so they got dressed up in these tuxedos and they looked all dapper and nice. And then all of a sudden,
did they look mobbed up?
No. They looked like they were going to go to the opera. They had the big ruffles.
They didn't look like like Michael and Fredo Corleone or anything.
No, they didn't look like they were going to like the Sopranos.
Okay,
know,
I knew it was you, Luigi.
Okay, all right. Sorry.
No, but like they were all dressed up, all nice and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you know, Princess Toadstool comes out with like ripped up jeans, Milli Vanilli T-shirt, and she's like, "Guys, what's wrong with you? You're so square."
And somewhere a young Matt fell in love.
with Milli Vanilli?
Yes.
Even the best part, too, is that like whenever like Milli Vanilli talk, they like talk with like the strong Austrian accent. Like, oh, you know, it's going. And for some reason, my Austrian accent sounds like Swedish. But
well,
like,
that's a quickly an established thing on this show.
Birdie.
No, it's true.
Birdie, Milli Vanilli, birdie, fur.
Right. So, no, I didn't realize. And this all happened in the cartoon. It wasn't like the real Milli Vanilli scrolled up in the live action bit or something.
The best part was it wasn't even the Mario show. It was the Mario Brothers, the Super Mario 3 show.
Oh, right. I remember that because they were sort of in syndication with the Mario Super Show with Captain Lou. And then they moved to NBC with the Mario 3 show, and that was a whole other thing. And had they lost the wrestler by that point, or was he still around? Or
no, they were. There was no live action bits at that point, which was sad.
That was a big thing, like at that time, because we talked before, actually in the Lost podcast, about the Back to the Future animated series, about how Christopher Lloyd did those really cool wraparounds as Doc.
Yeah,
Brown.
With what do you call it? With Bill Nye, right?
Yeah, he was in there at some point as well, but just as Doc Brown, and you always had those great like cartoon shows with live action guys introducing, you know, what was going on, and
G.I. Joe had Sergeant Slaughter.
Oh Lord, yeah, that's true. That's true. I forgot.
Sergeant
that.
Slaughter was actually on the Mario show too. My brother.
I remember
like,
that.
DVDs.
Yes.
And that makes sense because you know they're both wrestlers. They come from that whole you know world. So I suppose that makes sense in a way. But
they wanted.
How do you think that phone conversation went with Lou Albano called out up Sergeant Slaughter and asked him to come on the show? He'd be like, "Hey,
yeah, what can I do for you?
Come on the show,
Lou. Yeah, all right, I'll be right there."
Pretty much like that. I think.
I don't know where I was going with that. So
those were great though, and I mean they met like Inspector. Well, they met like a guy playing Inspector Gadget.
Yeah,
which
doing
was huge
a really bad.
Don Adams impression.
Yeah, that's the guy.
Is it Don Adams?
Yes, it was. He played. He actually played Maxwell Smart. And
yeah, sorry about that, Chief.
Yeah, exactly. A very distinctive voice. Good choice for that character. I wish the character didn't suck, but yeah.
And didn't they meet Ernie Hudson?
Could be. Like they wanted to do a Ghostbusters thing, and
they did
the
Ghostbusters
only one
we
could get. So.
And I know they met Elvira.
Well, almost certainly. Because you couldn't swing a dead Goomba in those days without hitting Elvira in something.
Specifically without hitting her boobs.
Well, it's true. And they were fake, I found out later.
Oh, really?
So disappointing.
That is disappointing. I'm sad now.
Yeah, well, you'll get over it.
Yeah.
I don't know that I will.
No. This is all about disappointment, apparently. So.
Yeah.
Disappointment in Super Mario Brothers.
Well.
A disappointment in donuts.
You're just not going to let this go.
No.
Ever. All right, well, you know what?
You know what? I came on here. I felt it was my duty to pressure you, you know, to make you, you know, fulfill your commitments. You know, I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing this for Twitter.
For Twitter. All right. Well,
for Twitter.
Yes, for Twitter.
I don't feel that I've made
waving a sword in the air.
All right. So you know what? We got some mail here to answer. Why don't we do that, and maybe that'll shut you up for a little while.
All right.
Okay, let's see. Our first question comes... Oh, look, it comes from you, Scott. You wrote me a question.
Oh. I wonder what it could be.
You sure it's me?
It is. It is a question that you sent me via Twitter, because you gave me a hard time about not being able to email it to me.
Okay.
And you say, which is worse, wanting to fuck a fish or making promises you don't intend to keep? So, Scott, I'm going to give you the unprecedented opportunity to answer your own question.
All right. Well, I think it all depends on, because there's been a lot of famous, you know, fish fuckers in, the, you know, history. There's, you know, there's Don Knotts, obviously. We talked about him.
That's
there's
true.
Tom Hanks.
In Splash, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, they kind of implied it. Do you think Michael Palin in A Fish Called Wanda counts?
He definitely was excited about his fish, but I don't know. I think you're pushing it there. I think he
all
was,
right.
I think that's closer than Tom Hanks wanting to fuck a mermaid. I want to fuck that mermaid too.
Well, yeah, but that you know that Wanda was pretty attractive, and
well,
you know, and actually now that I think of it, the fact that he named it Wanda and the fact that it was sort of a substitute for Jamie Lee Curtis, who he really wanted to have sex with and couldn't, maybe he was having sex with that fish.
Yeah.
She was sort of that fish was sort of the surrogate Jamie Lee Curtis because she was very hot in that movie and he was very frustrated and I could see that happening. So yeah, okay, let's put him in the fish fucker column.
Okay, well now because Kevin Kline swallowed Wanda, so does he not too? Like
no,
lots of people have swallowed fish.
That's true. It's like that's like you know somebody killing your girlfriend. That's bad, but it's not.
It was a popular trend back in the 50s, if my memory of a certain MST3K episode is correct.
And if my memory of the tried and true book of lists is correct, fantastic book by the way. If you swallow the goldfish wrong, the scales will cut you on the inside and fuck you all up.
Really?
Like permanently damage your esophagus. Like if the scales aren't, there's a pointy end. If the fish goes like tail first, they'll like open up and cut you all to hell.
Okay. Listen, audience of Sarcastic Voyage. Sarcastic Voyage supports fish fucking. It does not support fish swallowing.
Yes, please don't try this at home.
Yeah.
So now you know.
And knowing is important. Indeed. Yeah.
Okay.
Mario.
Where was I?
Fish fucking.
Fish fucking?
Fish fucking. Okay, so is that worse than making an empty promise, like, you know, telling a bunch of people?
Well, you know, you'd since having donuts. Never made a promise that I've not, you know, I tend to live up to my promises, so I really couldn't say.
So, well, how can you say that if you haven't made us donuts yet?
I never promised to make donuts, Scott.
You said you were going to make donuts.
Our next question comes from Flonk.
Our next question comes from Little Flonk of Minnesota.
And his dog named Snuckles. Flonk addresses the show's apparent love of incest. Actually, I'll cop to this. It's my love of incest.
And specifically Al's love of incest.
He points out that, because we have pointed out before that I do tend to like entertainment that has sort of an incest theme to it. Of course, Arrested Development is my favorite show of all time. Back to the Future is one of my favorite movies. There's sort of the underlying incest in Star Wars. I don't really count that one, but okay.
And of course, your lust for your own mother.
Well, there is that. And he points out correctly that Futurama has a fantastic incest episode.
It does indeed.
And Scott, I know you specifically have not seen Futurama yet, which, shame on you, you should. But,
yeah, what the hell, dude?
It's not by choice.
No, we all have a long list of things that we need to see, and I completely.
No, understand. No, I'm serious. I'm allergic to that show.
Really?
Like every time I watch it, I break out in hives.
Oh, well.
Seriously, yeah. Though, dude, Al may be a liar, but that's a real sin right there.
It is, and it's funny you mentioned
what,
sin.
What, did I break out in hives when I watch Futurama? That's a medical condition. You can't.
Illness is no excuse for not watching Futurama.
It's true. We've covered people who actually explode, medically explode, and those people aren't excused from it either. It's funny that you mentioned sin, though, because Flonk actually signs his email, yours in Christ. Flonk. Take that for what you will. We're not here to mock, but I just wanted to.
We're here
out.
To mock anyone who ends an email with yours in Christ. I'll tell you that much.
And there goes the Christian vote. Thanks a lot for that. Our next
look, if
letter,
they aren't, if we don't lose them, we'll lose them eventually. Okay,
it's true. Our next letter comes once again from Flonk. Most of these usually are from Flonk. Dear Matt, this was directed specifically to you, Matt. The other day, I decided to learn about Canadian culture. Well, this ought to be hilarious. So I watched Strange Brew. How is it that you guys have to buy beer up there? Or, excuse me, is that how you guys have to buy beer up there? From some creepy dude with a beer dispensing conveyor belt. Please explain.
Oh, the conveyor belt thing, yeah.
I have not seen Strange Brew, so I can't speak to this anyway, so please.
Well, what we do is, you guys can basically buy beer anywhere, right? Like you can basically pluck it from trees on the street.
Much like plutonium, it's available at every corner drugstore, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Canada has slightly different, for the amount of beer we actually consume, Canada has slightly different laws in how you can get beer. You have to go to a cold beer and wine store that is owned by the government.
I should say we do have states that have that. I believe Virginia has laws like that. So
I doubt you have the amount of protection that we do.
But there's a state-run thing. I mean, it does happen here.
Do you have armored cars up there that like deliver the beer and stuff?
Yeah, basically delivering the beer every Sunday morning when the place is closed. The beer is kept behind a giant steel wall.
Wow.
With a small window that the beer seller will speak to you through. It's got like a chain. It's got like a chain mesh sort of over it. You can picture that in your mind's eye. And behind that is a plexiglass dome. Okay. Now, next to that is a small hole with like those rubbery flap things in. So basically, what you do is you give the money to the guy behind the plexiglass dome with the mesh over it. He shoots a box of beer out on a conveyor belt.
So that's actually a real thing. That's not like
it is actually a real. No, this is a real thing.
Huh.
And also true, one in six bottles of beer have a dead mouse in them.
Well, that's law. I mean, we're not going to make fun of your actual laws, but the rest of that's just ridiculous.
I got a question.
Yes, Scott.
Who would be able to steal the Canadian beer quicker, Batman or Superman?
Well, Batman has a plan to steal Canadian beer.
I was
beer.
About to say, prep time has to come into that. Like, you can't answer any question about Batman without asking first about prep time.
And plus, Canadian beer is protected by kryptonite. Everyone knows that.
Obviously. Incidentally, when you said mind's eye, all I could think of is how Alan Moore would say that, which is moin's oi.
Moin's oi.
Okay, moving on. Our next question comes from...
Moin's oi helps Batman fight crime.
Right. Our next question comes from our friend from Brewtown, Brewtown Andy. He asks a Back to the Future related question. Of course, our Lost podcast, what was it, 3A? I don't remember what I called it. We talked.
You called it.
That's right. which refers to the noise that Doc Brown makes when his pile of oily rags ignites.
The scientist's oil of piley rags.
Yes,
his oil of piley rags.
Right, but it's a Back to the Future related question. So, Scott, are you familiar with these movies? Are you as obsessed with them as we are? Or
I'm very familiar with them, but okay. It's been forever since I've seen them.
Okay, this appears to relate to Back to the Future 2. Why didn't Doc and Marty just leave the unconscious Jennifer in the DeLorean? The police finding her was the second best possibility. I have no answer to this question. I cannot say.
Because it would have started a paradox.
That is
in time.
That's pretty much your standard answer for any time travel related thing. Tachyons, paradox.
Is that what you want? Paradox? No.
No.
So you leave her whatever you said.
Maybe she was supposed to be found by the cops.
Oh, like a predestination paradox.
Yeah, exactly. Like it was supposed to happen. So if it didn't happen, it would cause like this whole cataclysm and.
Which Biff
would
destroy
would be like
life as
president of the United States.
Biff.
McBoy.
Now that's
sorry. That was bad. Sorry.
No, that's you. Anytime you put Biff in any kind of situation, like you take any situation in the world and create a cardboard cutout of it and cut a hole and put Biff's head in there, and that automatically makes me laugh. Like Biff as a knight in King Arthur's court. Biff as I don't know, like a circus strongman. Biff as, you know, like anything.
That's why the Back to the Future animated series did so well.
Yeah, because it's hilarious to imagine Biff in all those crazy.
He'd be the circus strongman, and he'd like accidentally fall back into like the elephant pile, and he'd be like, "I hate manure.
Yeah, exactly. I hate manure."
And he'd be like, you know, Smith. Because they always had to give him those names. All right, our next question comes from Matt Terry, a.k.a. that guy from Syracuse.
No relation.
Right. No, not everyone named Matt is not related.
Well, most people named Matt are related, but this guy isn't.
Right. Okay. He says, how much do you enjoy... Oh, we love these questions. How much do you enjoy my awesome Twitter updates? Keep in mind, I pimp your podcast as much as I can and am currently intoxicated. And he puts a hilarious little Howard Stern tag there that I'm not going to read. So, how much do we enjoy his updates?
Who is he again?
I'm following him.
Really?
Really?
You should be. He's a funny guy. He's
because you enjoy. So you're saying that you enjoy his awesome whatever's.
I refuse. Right. I refuse to give the answer that we keep being baited into giving, which is to just give a standard numerical answer and move on.
Yeah, but we're not your dancing monkeys, people.
It's true. We are neither are we yours in Christ.
I prefer his like what was that one thread we started with the author? You know what I'm talking about? Did you read that thread?
I'm not sure. You're speaking of the comic book message board that we all met on.
Shall remain nameless.
Yes, no need to name the name, but yes.
Yeah. We started a thread on there about this one like horror author who wrote like this really just god awful like horror novels. And
was it like, Dean Koontz?
No. This guy, Dean Koontz. This is like a guy who like isn't like even like known. I can't remember his name. Why am I forgetting his name? But like well, we came up
we
with
say
like
it's
our...
Dean Koontz because I hate Dean Koontz.
Yeah, I'm not.
Yeah, that's fine. That's all fine. Right. So awesome. So yeah, we're making fun of Dean Koontz and we're all making like you know fake Dean Koontz passages in the thread. And I think he came up him and Dave Mighty. I think they came up with the best ones. So I think. I'm forgetting my message board lore here.
There's a fair amount of collaborative comedy that happens on this message board in particular, perhaps on others as well. It's the only one I'm really familiar with that sort of culminated in a thread that somebody came up with where they decided we should all talk like Frank Miller for a day. And I'm sure you guys all remember this. Very funny guy on there named Gregory is actually attributable to this particular quote. Where he says that something fell on him like a brick full of bullets, which is the greatest quote ever in the history of the world. But as far as Matt Terry goes, he is a fun guy. I do enjoy his Twitter updates. You guys, if you're not following him, should.
I do. I was just joking.
Matt, much like you, he may in fact be related to you. He does work in a comic shop, and he's got a lot of horrible things to say about the horrible people that come and buy comics from him.
Oh well, then it sounds like my Twitter account. So yeah, you're awesome.
He's like your American doppelganger. So
my mock doppelganger.
Stop portmanteauing.
Never.
Stop it. Okay, another one from Brutan Andy. He asks, "Oh, good." He asks, "Which is better, donuts or donut holes?"
As a Canadian who goes to Tim Hortons on a regular basis, I refuse to answer.
I gotta say, I've been to Tim Hortons. You guys rave about it. It's all right.
I have never raved about Tim Hortons.
Well, I see
their donuts.
You guys.
Their donuts are passable, but their sandwiches are the devil between bread.
Really?
I'm gonna throw a curveball here and just say donut holes.
All right. I should mention this is something I had in my exhaustive notes that I prepare before the show. You mentioned.
Oh, sure.
And once again, I am the master of segues here. You mentioned bread. I want to mention before this becomes too old a topic, the KFC, I don't know what it's actually called.
Oh, shit. Yes.
I don't know what it's actually called. The meat bread sandwich is what we're
talking about. I think it's called like a double decker, double something.
But it's basically meat bread.
Double meat medley.
And Matt, very generously, this is the height of comedic generosity, perfectly set me up to use the George Carlin bit where, you know, could be meat, could be bread. Looks like. Meat bread. But really, for those of you who haven't seen this thing, and I'll provide a link in the show notes, it's a KFC chicken sandwich, like the meat of a chicken sandwich, but instead of bread, there are two more pieces of meat. Yeah.
I'm sure it's lovely.
But here's the best part. I didn't know at the time. Apparently, it's only available in test markets. It's in, I don't know, like Indiana and like Vermont or something. Somewhere far from here. I went to my local KFC. We moved to a new building at work, so I didn't know where it was. So I went kind of on a quest at lunchtime. It's exciting. Like, I'm going to find me some meat bread. And I wouldn't eat one of these regularly, but it's like, okay, it's like novelty food. I'll give it a try once. This should be fun for a goof. And I go in and I say, you got that sandwich? And let me tell you, ordering meat bread is not nearly as embarrassing as trying to explain it to someone who's never heard of it. Because really, really, I heard about it on the internet, you see. It's like a sandwich, but instead of bread. Yeah, I tried.
Okay.
Nobody lies on the internet.
Take your chicken sandwich. You got your chicken sandwich? Okay. Now take the bun. Throw that away. Now go and get me two more chicken sandwiches. Now throw the bread away on those two. You give me the chicken from both of those sandwiches. You put it on top of the other chicken. You slap some bacon on there. You slap some cheese and some, what is it called, kernel sauce? Yes, sir. Yeah, you slap some of that on, then you give me that. Then you haven't broken any rules.
That sounds a lot like a Tenacious D bit, though, that they did.
Does it?
Yeah, on one of their albums between one of the songs.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a bit where he's at the drive-thru with Kyle, and he's ordering all kinds of stuff, and he's telling them very specifically, you know, give me a Coca-Cola with half Coke and half Diet Coke, and so on. It's a funny bit, but...
Oh, well, then I'm sorry. I was referencing
something you've never
heard. Whatever that Jack Nicholson movie was where he orders a chicken sandwich.
Oh, right. With meat bread? Give me some meat bread.
I need some meat. You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight? Stop asking that.
Actually, I have to cop to the fact that I can't do Jack Nicholson at all. What I do is a Christian Slater, which is exactly the same thing, only, you know, you insist that you're nothing like Jack Nicholson.
I'm nothing like Jack Nicholson.
Look, why do people keep saying that? I'm my own person, okay? I'm an actor.
That was almost George Bush.
Wouldn't be prudent. All right, moving on.
He really is his own worst enemy.
All right, moving on.
Moving on as quickly as possible.
this question comes from Flonk. And he asks, what is the best donut for an on-the-go youth like myself to enjoy? Do they make donuts in a tube? What he's doing here is referencing a very funny Strong Bad email where Strong Bad eats his yogurt in a tube.
Flonk, get a bear claw and leave us alone.
And while you're at it, get a better microphone. So our next question comes from Flonk.
And two turntables.
Our next question, in fact, comes from Flonk, and he says...
That's him to follow my advice.
Yeah. He says, my internet is not loading fast enough.
Dear Al, my internet is not loading fast enough. Your pal, Flonk.
He says, no, he doesn't cite it, your pal. You know how he signs it. Yours in Christ. All right.
That should not make me laugh as much as it does.
It really should, because I'm very carefully not specifically making fun of anybody with that, and I'm just saying it, and you're laughing like I'm telling a joke.
Oh, yours in Christ.
All right. So, Flonk writes, this is for all of you. What is your favorite colored donut sprinkle, and why? These are all going to be donut-related, aren't they? You see what you've started, Zyoko?
You can't stop the signal, Al.
The donut signal?
The donut signal.
All right. Well, I suppose we better answer this. What is your favorite color?
Look up in the sky. The donut signal. Green.
All right. Scott?
Why? Matt, you got to say why.
What? Oh, yeah. Okay, fine. Why?
That was terrible. Don't ever do that again.
I'm sorry. I was thinking of something else.
All right. Scott?
My favorite color is purple.
Of sprinkle, not your favorite color, but your favorite color of sprinkle.
Oh, well, no, yeah. My favorite color is purple sprinkle.
Okay.
What's the color that's impossible to make? I think isn't the color blue impossible to make? And, like, all blue is just purple, different shade of purple.
Is it?
Is that true?
Is that what I'm thinking of?
Blue dye number whatever?
That's fascinating.
True according to something. I can't remember if it's donut sprinkles
to some lie I read on the internet.
Well, we could make it true on Wikipedia easily enough, but
nobody lies on the internet.
Well, no. I mean,
people really are interested in like the growth of my manhood. That's true, right?
What? Oh, that. Yeah. Well,
I certainly am.
Well, we should for the record state that you do have super sperm, in fact.
I do.
Scott, apparently, every time he you know, plants a kiss on his wife's mouth, they have another child.
Yeah.
Don't know how it happens. They just leap out, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just...
For the mouth?
Know. Well, anywhere. I mean, he's got this magnetism about him. He'll give her a hug or, you know, whatever. Just impregnated immediately.
Just exude it from your pores.
Yeah.
Just imagine the cleanup.
Oh, fuck. That's a terrible image. Why did I do that?
Oh, and I'm not even, like, I'm not picturing anything dirty, really. I'm just picturing it being this sort of energy essence happening, like nothing physical.
Well, I'm picturing a guy sweating semen, so.
Ugh. All right, moving on. Aren't those Oreo donuts... Oreo donuts at Dunkin' Donuts awesome. I think they're awesome.
What the fuck is an Oreo donut?
I don't think I've had that.
I don't know.
No, we don't have.
I do know that Flonk has gone on record as being very anti novelty food, like when Domino's does dessert pizza and stuff like that. And so I can't imagine he actually does think that Oreo donuts are awesome. I think he is in fact using reverse psychology here.
So he's lying on the internet. We have a place. We have a place for people like you, Flonk.
Do we?
Internet prison.
Grandma prison.
No, it's slightly to the left of Grandma prison.
Do you like the internet version of the Keystone Cops? Come and drag them away.
Yes, into a monitor.
And that would be what, like Mr. T and Chuck Norris and I don't know, a lolcat.
Chewbacca.
Maybe? Ah, Chewbacca. There you go.
And then they eat his balls.
Because that one, we're bringing that one back, right? Did we decide that But that
yeah, Mr. T, eating your balls is coming back, man.
I'm eating your balls, fool. And I'm not getting on that plane.
He's going to bring the T-Force with him.
Yeah. Man, the theme song to that cartoon that he had gets stuck in my head to this day.
What song would that be?
Well, the lyrics are Mr. T. Mr. T. That's pretty much it.
That's an awesome song.
It is.
I love that Neil Adams cover too. Did you ever see the Neil Adams cover of the comic?
No, Mr. T and they got like an established, legitimate, like comic, you know, legendary comics artist to draw Mr. T, huh?
Dude, didn't they get what's his face? The guy that did the Nick Fury covers back in the day. I can't believe I'm blanking on this.
Steranko,
Jim Steranko.
Yeah, Steranko.
To draw Mr. T.
Was it Steranko? It might have been Stick. Oh fuck. Anyone know who? He's got this really sort of distinctive, sketchy style. This is going to drive me nuts now. Sinkowitz?
Is it Mr. T?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, okay.
Sinkowitz.
The guy that did that Daredevil comic.
Isn't that who Dennis Franz plays on NYPD Blue?
Mm. Yes, it is.
All right, then.
And he always be showing his ass.
And we're bringing that back, too. It's 1993 all over again. Dennis Franz's ass, and oh boy, this OJ trial, man. So what were we talking about?
The fuck were we talking about?
Something, I don't know.
Oreo donuts.
Yeah, Franz are going to internet prison. Hopefully right. They'll have better mics there.
All right.
I guess they would have to.
Well, yeah. Maybe they'll bake you one in a cake.
Or a donut.
Or
yours in Christ, Matt.
All right, well, I think that's about all the time we have. Scott, this is typically where I thank the guest for being on. However,
thanks for nothing.
This has not been the most pleasant experience for me, and I'm you know.
Sure. Well, you know, it would have been more pleasant, you know, if you would have, you know, kept up on your end of the bargain, you know.
There are no donuts. There will be no donuts.
That sounds exactly like reverse psychology.
Do you even know what reverse psychology is, or are you just saying words?
It's reverse psychology. It's when you're saying something and you mean the other thing, right?
No, that's sarcasm. And usually there's a difference between what I'm saying.
Well, there you go. We're on the sarcastic voyage.
But there's a difference between...
You're being sarcastic. You're saying, oh yeah, there's no donuts, you know? Uh-huh. Waka waka.
But I
technically, if he's on a sarcastic voyage, it's a different one than the one we're currently on, which would make that sarcastic voyages, which we are unequivocally not.
It's true. Everyone keeps misspeaking the title. And the thing is, I own the name Sarcastic Voyage. It is actually my registered trademark, whereas Sarcastic Voyage is not. So that's why it's not a nitpicky thing. This is the name that I own. But beyond that, there are no donuts. I don't know how I can make that more clear.
He is, however, making bagels. So expect some of those soon.
I prefer donuts.
I'm not making bagels. Are you an anti-Semite? Is that why you...
I didn't even know that bagels were Semite.
Oh, absolutely.
I thought they were like, you know, non-religious, you know.
No. I'm pretty sure they're quite Jewish.
Are they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Learned something new.
So now we've insulted the Christians and the Jews.
So, in conclusion, Scott is a racist and Al is a liar. And I am perfect.
Well, we definitely can't stop now, because there's no way in hell I'm ending on that note. Also, we haven't talked about Scott's wonderful comics at all, and I'm very disappointed in that. I can't believe we've spent, you know, an hour talking about donuts and not...
And Super Mario.
Well, that's fine. I can believe that.
We could talk about my years at Spencer Gifts.
Oh, yes.
Which is a lot more interesting than comic books.
Well, it's true. And it's funny that you mentioned that because I too worked at Spencer Gifts. I worked there for probably 2 weeks in 1992 as I just got out of high school and I moved in with some friends of mine and I was looking for a crappy mall job and I ended up there. This is a brief story, trust me. They told me I was not being assertive enough as a salesman. They said I needed to make, you know, pick a product in the store. They may have done this to you as well. Pick a product in the store and sell it. Like, sell. And because I'm a smartass, because I just can't, I couldn't take that as, okay, well, most people come in here and buy this, so I'll choose the easy thing. No, I decided to pick the, it was on clearance, the pillow shaped like Luke Perry. I sold none of them, and I didn't work them very long.
That could have been worse. You could have gone with the blow up sheep.
No, see that you get the novelty, you know, you get the office crowd with like a Christmas, you know, party, you get like the, you know, hey, here's your date, man. You know, like nobody wants, nobody wanted at the height of 90210 when I was doing this, nobody wanted the Luke Perry pillow. Certainly no one wants it now, but.
I don't know. I could use a Luke Perry pillow.
Yeah, I could get behind that.
Yeah. I don't really feel like selling you one. But Scott,
you don't feel like selling me one. You don't feel like giving me donuts. What are you going to give me?
So you're a liar and a cheat.
And I hate Luke Perry also. Yeah. Just so we can go on the record here. I'm anti-Luke
And you're prejudiced against Luke Perry.
I am very anti-sideburn, and I always will be. But Scott, you in fact had apparently a more lucrative career with Spencer Gifts, the novelty store.
Yeah, I was there.
Real quick, for anyone who doesn't know, Spencer Gifts is that store at the mall that sells like the wacky, you know, kooky novelty gifts, like the fake barf and like the, you know, what the help
adult
me out, guys.
Novelty items.
If you need a pair of boobs to go on your wall that plays the Macarena, Spencer's Gifts is probably the place to go.
Right. So
if you need a birthday card with a morbidly obese chick on the cover, Spencer's Gifts is the place to go.
Or
and if you need a
with Luke Perry.
And if you need a miniature Tesla coil, Spencer's Gifts is the place to go.
Right. So that said, Scott, you worked there.
Tonight's episode was brought to you by Spencer's Gifts.
Try the Luke Perry pillow. It's divine.
Yeah, I don't remember any Luke Perry pillows, but I do remember, like, when I worked there, it was, like, during the big boy band phase.
Yeah, that would have been a few like years after I was there. So, yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, it was with, you know, Backstreet Boys and NSYNC, and they were really popular. And there was, like, there was another band there. I can't remember, like, their name, but, like, it was another boy band. But instead of, like, being, like, kind of grown up, like NSYNC and Backstreet Boys, they were, like, 12 or 13.
Wow.
So, no, it wasn't Hanson because they were all dressed up. They had like the chains and stuff like that and the shirts.
They
and
didn't
the,
have
you know,
their pants on
hair.
Backwards, did they? Because there were these couple of kids who wore their pants on backwards that drove me nuts.
That's crisscross.
Crisscross, yeah.
Crisscross.
They make you want to jump. Yeah. Jump.
No, they made me want to stab bleed. But and the backwards pants and the wrappy pants and so on. Now, anyway, continue. I'm sorry.
Are you anti-backwards pants?
I'm anti-rappy pants, and I'm stealing that phrase from another podcast, and I don't even care. Anyway, please continue.
Anyway, yeah, so I saw this group, and I was sitting there, and I was trying to figure out what type of music like these kids would sing, because, you know, they couldn't sing like the more mature, you know, songs like that, you know, NSYNC, you know, I guess Bye Bye Bye, you know, that's not, you know, on level
maybe
maturity they could reach.
Maybe I want to sex you in the face.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think they
totally
could get
appropriate
away
for 17, but not 12.
It's true.
Gotcha. Exactly. Yeah,
17 year olds are always be sexing in the face.
I was never not doing it when I was 17.
I was always not doing it.
So this group of 12 year olds.
Yeah. So there's the 12 year old. So I was trying to come up with like songs that they would do. Mm-hmm. And I came up with my own like little boy band group called Cute with a K, spelt out Cute with a K.
That's fantastic.
And yeah, and so I came up with songs that they would do. And if it's okay, I'd like to share a few with you.
Oh, please do.
Oh, by all means.
Okay. All right. So this is the first one. So there's me and you and also Pikachu. Can I trade a Pokemon card for your heart?
Now that if I'm not mistaken, would have been quite the favorite of Matt's now infamous ex-girlfriend. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think I'm having flashbacks.
Well, here I'll do another one, kind of get that image out.
The thing is, I think she pretty much told me that without the musical part.
Well, if only she'd sung it to you, then you might still be with her today.
There you go.
If only.
And then you could have sung this one back. Okay, so you can come with me because the movie's rated G. We can watch it all night long. It's got It's by Disney and it's got a talking monkey. We can watch it all night long.
Would there be like a, at that pause, or there be like a, or something like that?
Yeah, well, they're like, you gotta have a little break for the dance move, you know. Ah, you gotta do the little, or you gotta do the pose.
So do the G-rated, or do the, you know, do the, yeah, do the acceptable for all audiences. I don't know dance have, names. Help me out here.
Have some sparkles in the background and something made out of denim.
Right.
Have an entire backdrop made of denim.
denim is to the world of teen entertainment as felt is to this podcast.
Bedazzled denim in the background.
So is that it, or is there more in the catalog of cute with a K?
That's all I can remember right now. I had a few more. I had one where like the kid asked for fries. Like, you stole my heart, would you like fries with that? Or something like that.
Oh, God, that's actually something someone would do, I'm sure of it.
Here's the thing. I would say, would you like fries with that, has become one of those sort of comedy cliches. It used to be funny at one point. Now it's just one of those, you know, and you did this in the late 90s, so I'm not begrudging you that at all. But
well, I probably still do, because that's part of my shtick.
You know, you say that, but really, you know, it's just simply not true. But really, would you like fries with that is one of those. It's one of those things that's just not funny anymore. It can't be funny anymore. It's got to just be retired. It's just not funny to me.
Are we officially retiring? Would you like fries with that right now?
I think we're officially putting a bullet in it.
Taking it to the pasture.
That would be fine with me.
I'll do it, Mom. Would you like fries with that is my dog.
Sorry, I've just gotten suddenly distracted on my Twitter feed. Shit My Dad Says just posted a new post.
Fuck, I love that guy.
I don't know for the past couple of weeks, we've sort of been highlighting people we enjoy following on Twitter. We mentioned Brent Spiner at one point. I definitely think this guy should be mentioned. His actual name is, it's actually Shit My Dad Says, all one word. And yep. It's some of the most hilarious, just, I don't think it's a guy's actual dad. I think it's somebody making stuff up, but it's so funny. The only thing I've laughed harder at recently, and unfortunately this account has now been closed, is a fake account. I can't even believe I'm saying this. I'm going to hell so much. Is a fake account by Stevie Wonder that was shared with me on Friday. It's Sunday as we record this, and it's now long gone. But on Friday it was there, and it's exactly what you think it is. It's just somebody mashing the keyboard. JKLMXLL, you know, colon. But the first time I saw it, I fell out of my chair. It was fucking hilarious. So wrong. So with that, we're all going to hell, and I think that's a good place to end.
Tune in next week on the podcast from hell.
Actually, we are going to the Penny Arcade Expo, doing a couple of interviews there. So
kind of the same thing.
Yeah, more or less.
Well, yeah, exactly.
For me, the non-gamer, it kind of is.
Hell probably smells better.
It's true. So, Scott, thank you for being
Diesel
on.
Beelzebub actually takes baths, right?
It's true. So, Scott, thank you for being on. Scott, do you have a website to plug right now? I hate
no.
to put you on the spot like this, but I know you've had your art online from time to time. You don't actually have one right now. If you do manage to get one thrown together, by all means, we'll plug it. Like, doesn't have to be right now.
Okay.
But his comics are definitely worth looking at, and if I can come up with some kind of a link to prove that to you, I will in the show notes.
People can just follow like my Twitter feed, and eventually I'm going to have something somewhere, somehow.
And please,
so.
Because you have a name that is not sort of a Smith or Jones name, please spell it for the good people so they know how to find you on Twitter.
It's a S-C-O... T-T.
Yeah, that's not the part we have problems with.
Right. Okay. That's okay. Yeah, it's a Z-I-O-L-K-O.
Right. And Scott is, of course, quite entertaining on the Twitter when he's not talking about things that I did not say about donuts.
Which is never.
It's true. All right, Matt, as always, thank
you. Yep.
And did I forget anything? Is there anything I need to tell
about? You can follow both of us on Twitter at Robot Matt and at Algar, respectively. If you like the show, please give us a review on iTunes. We've gotten some already, and we're always more than happy to see more.
We have, as of right now, let me go check while we're talking about this. Last check, we had 7 reviews, several of them from people we don't know, so already this thing's sort of
which is awesome.
We got one from Paul Masson, like from, you know, the French champagne. That guy, that Paul Masson. Yeah, still seven.
And like that famous review, it's bottled.
Still seven, but several of these are people we don't know, and fantastic. It doesn't have to be positive, really. If you don't enjoy us, tell us that. Tell us what we could do better, but we liked the feedback.
And if you put a review for us on iTunes, Al will make you a donut.
Not a guarantee. All right, everyone, thank you, and stand by.
Good night.
Musical interlude.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Calling all cars in the place to be. Here's my novelty rap like it was
1983.
Where I'm styled like an incoherent winos. Low melon account, just call me albino. Cool like JFK in the Cuban Missile Crisis. On the dope scale, I'm higher than Vanilla Ice's. Name my dog Checkers like I'm Tricky Dick Nixon. Prophecy my flimsy rhymes like you was Gene Dixon. Got a big nose like Raymond Luxury Yatched. Wrote a screenplay but no directors attached. My inspiration comes from a solitary muse. Not talking about heroin, crack, weed, or booze.
I'm talking about water!
Well, eight. Bitch's real name is Methylphenidate. 10 milligram power-ups by the fistful. Make no mistake, y'all, I'm invincible.
Y'all, you learn to talk like that.
Hattiesburg.
What were you doing in Hattiesburg?
Kicking it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
It is interesting.
Like Who's Lying with Clive and Drew Carey. Don't like MySpace, it's too scary. While I chewed the gum and become a blueberry. Why have you forsaken us, Luke Perry? Like G.I. Joe said, knowing's half the battle. Don't like to fly, they treat you like cattle. I'll keep this short, cause I tend to prattle. No place like home, and that home is Seattle. Deadpan style like Stephen Wright. Like Gilbert Gottfried, I've been up all night. My rhythm and timing ain't what you call tight. If I was in the UK, they'd call it shite. My underwear's cotton, it's not edible. My lyrical style is not so incredible. My favorite Star Trek is The Trouble with Tribbles, in case you missed it.
I'm invincible!
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs! How about you?
Come on, then.
All right, we'll call it a draw.
Yeah, that's right, suckers. All you other punks are invincible? Not me. I'm invincible. That's right. In.
I will not buy this record. It is scratched.
Since 91, they've called me Algar. Dr. Crazy Pants is Gaius Baltar. If an element is unknown, just use tar. The Decepticon base is placed on char. Tip recommends the chocolate pig holes. They're bad for you like a Swiss cake roll. Crow and Tom Servo were built by Joel. When I'm driving in Jersey, I pay a lot of tolls. The comic I write is Tales of the Odd. I don't exactly get the sales of a god. I'm on a Kryptonian jihad. And one day you'll all kneel before Zod. Like Agent Dale Cooper, I'm on the hunt. More star power than a sweeps weak stunt. Pull the ball away before you try to punt your idol like Eric, you silly bunt. I'm out.
The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is published weekly and is available via iTunes or on the web at algar.com. Audience feedback can be sent to podcast@algar.com or sent via Twitter to @algar. The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is written and produced by Ron Algar Watt and the featured guests, unless otherwise noted. All material contained herein is the property of Ron Algar Watt. Copyright 2009, Algar Productions.
Reasonably touchable slices of his earlier days, for he was a suburban child of the 70s.